morning, everyone. Before I start the reading, which is the book of Malachi today, Pastor Pete had asked me at 9:45 to say a few words about our missions trip. So I'm going to try to ring it here and see if I can do this. All right, so Bob and I went on a missions trip this past week. We left on Sunday morning, Bob Wilcox and I. And it was my third trip going, and I think it was Bob's five years in a row going. So we were the only two from this church, but we joined 21 other members from the old South Union Church in Weymouth, okay? And this is with the organization called Good Works. And what they do, they're very similar to Habitat for Humanity, where we go out and we actually build homes for people that are low income. And so we traveled down to Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is about a 7-hour bus ride, something like that, okay? Yeah, something like that, yeah. Pretty crazy. And it was really an amazing time. I love going on missions trips because I find it to be a time where I can really seek out God, get away from the distractions of my work, get away from my distractions of everything that goes on in our common lives, and really just seek God out and do his work for his kingdom. So I really encourage people, if you haven't gone on a missions trip, to think and consider about doing that. Psalm 133 starts how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And one thing I found that was amazing about this trip is there were 23 of us aged 18 to 79. Some of us have carpentry skills, some of us don't. But we all get together and we all form a bond that week in serving God. And Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." And that's really what this is about. It's about doing God's work for his kingdom. We all have skill sets that we have. Some have more carpentry skill sets than others, but we all got together, made houses, put in some windows, did some siding, a lot of work on the side of the home, put a lot of soil in, a lot of topsoil in, and just turned this house that was really beaten down into a nice-looking house over a course of 5 days. So really great time to bond with others. Especially others that aren't necessarily people I know that well. And it just shows that we as brothers and sisters in Christ can get together to do God's work. And I encourage everyone to do that. It really was amazing. All right, so the word, the scripture today is taken from the minor prophet Malachi. And it is chapter 2, verse 17. "You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'How have we wearied him?' By saying, 'All who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them,' or by asking, 'Where is the God of justice?' See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widows, the orphans, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tom. Before his long and fruitful career as a solo artist, Christian singer Steve Green sang for 6 years with the Gaither family. I didn't know this. But he likes to tell about getting to know some of the work crews in the large auditoriums where their concerts were held. The Gaithers always liked to sing in concerts in the round. And that means extra work for the riggers, those who walk the 4-inch rafter beams about 100 feet above the stage floor, rigging sound speakers, rigging spotlights. For such work, understandably, they're well paid. But it reminded me of these guys. Have you ever seen this picture before? Hey, would you join me for lunch? You know, kind of thing. But Steve Green says, the fellows I talked to weren't bothered by the sight of looking down 100 feet. What they didn't like, they said, were jobs in buildings that had false ceilings, acoustical tile, slung just a couple feet below those rafters. The guys were just as high up in the air, and if they slipped, their bodies would smash right through that flimsy acoustical tile, and they'd fall to the floor below. But their minds seemed to play tricks on them because of that apparent little barrier, lulling them into carelessness. Green saw the spiritual lesson there. He reminds people that Satan's business is not so much in scaring us to death as persuading us that the danger of a spiritual fall is minimal. Well, the prophet Malachi, the final minor prophet, had to contend with people who similarly had been lulled into carelessness, but on a spiritual plane. We know about human nature. If you pass by the site of a car accident, you may drive very carefully for a while, but almost always we slip back into our old habits. No army officer wants to post a night watchman who will only stay awake for 1 hour. Short-term vigilance isn't vigilant at all. Consequently, Malachi spoke sharply against those who've become casual about their obedience to God. Dr. Tom read for us that first portion of today's prophet. There were those who interpreted God's patience with his wayward people as apathy, saying, all who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord. Well, this is why it was necessary for Malachi, like many of the minor prophets we've examined this summer, to proclaim that the Lord is a God of justice who will judge evildoers. You know, it's quite easy for us to drink the Kool-Aid of our present age and say that sorcery is just freedom of religion, or that adultery really isn't that bad. But then we see it linked to lying and many forms of the abuse of power, and we'd better look again. You know, the Ten Commandments are chiseled into the stone outer wall of the United States Supreme Court building because somebody recognized that we do better to take our moral bearings from the Word of God than from the whims of the present age. Now, let me make it clear before we go further. There's a difference between, on the one hand, living in the sins mentioned here without remorse, and on the other hand, repenting of our sins and resolving to live a new and better way, the Jesus way, and finding that your Heavenly Father forgives your sins and works with us as we stumble. It's the heart. It's the heart. He washes your sin-stained soul white as snow. You are shielded from the judgment coming upon those who fail to heed a prophet's warning. The bottom line is that the Lord, who loves your soul, offers not only our only sure defense, but also the one certain path to lasting joy. Some of the classic hymns, if we pay attention to their words, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Malachi promised to people whose faith had become jaded. He prophesied to them. Many of the Jews had returned to Jerusalem, the land of Judah, after being carried away first to Babylon, then taken over by the Persian Empire. Now, miraculously, the Persian kings, Cyrus and Darius, commissioned and affirmed, respectively, the Jews to return to and rebuild their capital city of Jerusalem, including the temple that had been first built by King Solomon some 500 years before, maybe 400. But within one generation, however, all the air had gone out of their vigilance balloon. They were dangerously comfortable. These are the people whose spiritual laxity Haggai, another prophet, had assailed, saying, "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while the house of God remains a ruin?" They were no longer staying vigilant. They even began to doubt God's existence and said, "Where is the God of justice?" Now, no doubt they saw abominable practices going on around them and wondered how God, who was declared to stand for all that is right and good, could permit such evil. Because they didn't see answers which paid attention to their understanding of timely justice. So some were abandoning either practically or totally their faith in God. Now, if that sounds like any contemporary situation you're aware of, then you might want to pay attention to Malachi's response. This is now, I'm going to read Malachi 3:16 to 4:6. "Then those who revered the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord took note and listened, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who revered the Lord and thought on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act, and I will spare them as parents spare their children who serve them. Then once more you shall see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all this arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the teaching of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse." Just in passing, that image of the calves springing. I have this old photo, or I don't, our family has, this old Super 8 film of my grandfather, probably at age 40, so this is probably 1940 or 1950, letting cows out for the first time in the spring. Those of you who have seen that know what that can be. He gets carried down the field quite a ways because they're rather happy to be out. That's the good side that God offers us. But there's warning there too. Malachi had two things to say to two different groups of people. His first words were to those who had come to believe that one's attitude towards God was a trivial matter. From time to time, Carol and I have participated in those open singings of George Frederick Handel's Messiah that you can find from place to place at times. If you know the Messiah, some of the words that Tom read might have triggered some music in your mind. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. And I want to say refiner's fire. It's there, right? "And he shall purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." God's word to those who have lost their first love for the Lord is, who can endure the day of his coming? Here's the thing. Gold does not fear the refiner's fire. Gold does not fear the refiner's fire. Dross, however, sees the fire and says, yikes. That which is dedicated to God and to his service is like a pure precious metal. Half-baked spiritual lives, like, I'll follow Jesus when it's convenient, cannot handle the heat of God's kitchen. This is a warning, however. It's not a pronouncement of sentencing. It's warning. Now, Malachi's other answer was to those who were staying vigilant. And I wonder if Malachi realized how many good lyrics he was writing. Great, long-lasting, inspirational music. The men and I were talking Thursday morning about how Jesus came not to abolish the Hebrew scriptures, but to fulfill them. And one of the reasons we celebrate Christmas is the amazing accuracy with which Jesus and his mission fulfilled dozens, probably hundreds, of Old Testament prophecies. Just about all of us have sung the words, I've sung once, so I won't do it again, but the words, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we may no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. The Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. Malachi knew that there are many sincere believers, many people living with reverential awe toward God. They were resisting the temptation to cease their vigilance. He wants them to know that what God has for them is better than we asked for. Now, because we associate Son of Righteousness with the Son of God, who is also risen, you might be surprised that that's Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness. Sun that rises like a sunrise. But of course, it will be a new day when the Messiah comes, the day of the Lord. Now, we know the first time Christ came to bring the first fruits of his kingdom. He ransomed sinners by his death, sent the Holy Spirit to live in us when he had ascended to heaven. And the homonym of Son, S-U-N, and S-O-N, are English specific. So you could debate whether God intended that powerful double meaning. I'm sure it didn't surprise him. But risen, the Son would be risen. Now, that translates in every language. So the righteous Son of God, S-O-N, is risen from the dead. And because of that, our sin-sick souls receive healing. Risen with healing in his wings. And the resurrection of Jesus is heaven's irrefutable seal of approval. No one could rise from the dead without the help of heaven. And heaven wouldn't raise anyone who had misrepresented God. So he rises like a bird soaring into heaven, but his wings are replete with healing for those who come to him for refuge. Healing of soul, healing of mind, healing of body, healing for you. One of the purposes of the Holy Scriptures is to provide us with the help we need for the challenges we go through. Corinthians tells us there's no temptation that comes on us that's not common to the human race. The problem Malachi was addressing in his day is common in our own time. How do we stay faithful when surrounded by discouraging circumstances? We're surrounded by people becoming hard, cynical, living like they're hopeless. Well, it's all up to me now. I'm not getting any help. Well, you might feel pressured by a doubter in your life to give irrefutable proof of your faith. You give testimony to times when God really came through in your life. But they aren't convinced. You see, if somebody really wants to be a cynic, you aren't going to change their mind. God can and may, so keep praying for them. But it's important to know, however, as you're having the conversation, cynicism has an expiration date. Bluntly speaking, you can be a cynic, a doubter, an unbeliever your whole life long, but not for eternity. Come eternity, only those who believe in the Lord won't have to change their minds. We'll all see ways that we didn't quite get it right. Because no human brain can fully conceive of the superhuman. At the end of the game, when the pieces go back in the box, and we meet the one in charge, patient trust will be rewarded. Now, you're listening to me right now because you want to live with hope in your life. But you know you can lose your way. There are many things you can do to keep your spiritual fervor. And one that I want to emphasize this morning is the spiritual discipline of worship. Attending worship is not something nice you do on a Sunday morning. Attending worship is an act of spiritual warfare. There are countless forces trying to keep you from attending church. You know, every morning is getting the kids ready for school, when a whole lot easier than getting them ready for church. Watching online, no, that's all right if you can manage it. But some folks need to put on some pants and get to worship. I always swore I was going to preach one time during the lockdown in my robe and slippers, because that's what you all were wearing. But you'll be hard-pressed to find in the entire New Testament many times when the word you, Y-O-U, is singular. We need a Southern translation so we can see all the times that it's you all. Jesus didn't preach us to pray, "My Father." We are to get together to encourage and be encouraged. If only one went down to Pennsylvania, probably not as much work would have gotten accomplished. Yeah. When we worship, we are declaring the mighty works God does, what he has done. We are reminded of our need for God, how we are bent towards sinning. And we give thanks for God's activity in our life and in the world. If we bring our whole selves to the task of worship, which is the only way to do it, we are becoming more and more aware of the countless times when God came through. As someone said recently, if you're breathing, you ought to be praising. If you're breathing, you ought to be praising. The songs, the responsive reading, the prayers, they're not preambles so you can get to the sermon. It's called a worship service because we're here to serve God by worshiping him. You know, in golf, you don't muzzle the club. You let the club do the work. Christians practice spiritual disciplines like worship so that God can make us strong, not so that we do the strong stuff. God will make us strong and drought-proof. Okay, but how do I start? Well, if this whole idea is new to you, whether you've been sitting in a pew every Sunday or this is the first time you've been here, if the Son of Righteousness is risen, how do I walk in righteous sunshine? How do I take advantage of the better than we asked for life that Malachi is offering us on behalf of God? Well, first, you admit your need for God. C.S. Lewis said that we pray, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil," as a vote of no confidence in ourselves. I really don't want to have to deal with evil and temptation because I know what I'm like, Lord. Pogo said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Human beings have a capacity for greatness and a capacity for horror. We need God. Good thing is, God wants to help, but he won't come uninvited. So when he knocks, open that door. After admit, the second step is commit. Commit each day to living in God's reality. Don't live like God isn't involved. Pray and seek to do his will. You know, don't live like God hasn't spoken. Read the Bible. Seek to understand and obey. You know, abuse of the internet and smartphones, so-called, have created an epidemic of loneliness. But God so loved the world. So we need to join him in his affections and his purposes and resist that temptation to just be by ourselves in a little cocoon. One time in a Peanuts cartoon strip, Linus said he wanted to grow up to be a doctor, but big sister Lucy said he wouldn't succeed because he didn't love humanity. I do love humanity, Linus insisted. It's people I can't stand. And having met me, I don't blame him. But when I choose to live in God's reality, I become bearable. And I follow Jesus into loving the people around me. So we admit our need for God, we commit to living in his reality, and we submit each day to God's soap and fire. Quite a combination. The praise team led us in singing Refiner's Fire, and that title's from today's reading. As I said earlier, gold does not fear the fire. God makes human beings in his own image. We are precious metal. We willingly submit ourselves to the purification God wants to do in our lives. We read about the fuller's soap. I had to be reminded that historically, a fuller was a launderer. Not everyone had good soap, but the fuller's soap was effective. Jesus still washes feet. We come to him and he gets the grime and the scum of the world off of where it has adhered to. The life God offers is better than we could have asked for. The Lord who loves your soul offers not only our only sure defense, but also the one certain path to lasting joy. So any sober consideration of our lives leads to only one rational decision. We want to stay close to God. We have a lot of lyrics today, and Cindy's saved a great song for our ending today. I know it's one of her favorites. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle or the fire. If thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway, I won't lose my vigilance if you will be my guide. Dan Franz was a farmer in one of our Indiana churches in the late 80s. His wife, Joyce, was the organist. Now, because I said he was a farmer, you know he drove a pickup truck. Just the case. And one day, Joyce was riding with him when they stopped at a red light. And another pickup truck was right in front of them. And you could see easily into the cab where the young fella had a young woman right under his arm there next to him. He was at the driver's seat of his pickup truck. And Joyce said, oh, isn't that sweet? How come we don't do that anymore? Dan looked at the space and the bench seat between them and said, I haven't moved. So when you hear the words of Malachi, to be vigilant in keeping your spiritual fervor, remember this tried and true watchword. If God feels far away, guess who moves? The Lord who loves your soul offers not only your only sure defense, but also the one certain path to lasting joy. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for knowing exactly what we're like and loving us anyway. Thank you that your love is stronger than anything that would bring us down. Thank you for knowing that we need the encouragement and help of others on the journey with you, with us. Help us to be that. And Lord, as we face situations that could be discouraging or obstructing to your will, keep our eyes on you. Cause us to keep those steps going forward towards you. Steps of service to neighbor, steps of testimony to your goodness, steps of faithful living. And for those taking their first steps, Lord, would you encourage them privately and help us to encourage them at every opportunity we can. Thank you that there is joy in the journey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's join and sing that closing song. Oh, Jesus, I have